What a contrast, Duane thought, the evening of that day presented to the state of his soul. The sunset lingered in golden glory over the distant Mexican mountains. Twilight came slowly. A faint breeze blew from the river, cool and sweet. The late cooing of a dove and the tinkle of a cowbell were the only sounds. A serene and tranquil peace lay over the valley. Inside Duane's body there was strife. This third facing of a desperate man had thrown him off his balance. It had not been fatal, but it threatened so much. The better side of his nature seemed to urge him to die rather than to go on fighting or opposing ignorant, unfortunate, savage men. But the perversity of him was so great that it dwarfed reason, conscience. He could not resist it. He felt something dying in him. He suffered. Hope seemed far away. Despair had seized upon him and was driving him into a reckless mood when he thought of Jenny. He had forgotten her. He had forgotten that he had promised to save her. He had forgotten that he meant to snuff out as many lives as might stand between her and freedom. The very remembrance sheared off his morbid introspection. She made a difference. How strange for him to realize that. He felt grateful to her. He had been forced into outlawry. She had been stolen from her people and carried into captivity. They had met in the river fastness, he to instill hope into her despairing life, she to be the means, perhaps, of keeping him from sinking to the level of her captors. He became conscious of a strong and beating desire to see her, talk with her. These thoughts had run through his mind while on his way to Mrs. Bland's house. He had let Euchre go on ahead because he wanted more time to compose himself. Darkness had about set in when he reached his destination. There was no light in the house. Mrs. Bland was waiting for him on the porch. She embraced him, and the sudden, violent, unfamiliar contact sent such a shock through him that he all but forgot the deep game he was playing. She, however, in her agitation, did not notice his shrinking. From her embrace and the tender, incoherent words that flowed with it, he gathered that Euchre had acquainted her of his action with Black.
"He might have killed you,"
she whispered more clearly, and if Duane had ever heard love in a voice, he heard it then. It softened him. After all, she was a woman, weak, fated through her nature, unfortunate in her experience of life, doomed to unhappiness and tragedy. He met her advance so far that he returned the embrace and kissed her. Emotion such as she showed would have made any woman sweet, and she had a certain charm. It was easy, even pleasant, to kiss her. But Duane resolved that, whatever her abandonment might become, he would not go further than the lie she made him act.
"Buck, you love me?" she whispered.
"Yes, yes," he burst out, eager to get it over, and even as he spoke he caught the pale gleam of Jenny's face through the window. He felt a shame he was glad she could not see. Did she remember that she had promised not to misunderstand any action of his? What did she think of him, seeing him out there in the dusk with this bold woman in his arms? Somehow that dim sight of Jenny's pale face, the big dark eyes, thrilled him, inspired him to his hard task of the present. "Listen, dear," he said to the woman, and he meant his words for the girl. "I'm going to take you away from this outlaw den if I have to kill Bland, Alloway, Rugg, anybody who stands in my path. You were dragged here. You are good, I know it. There's happiness for you somewhere, a home among good people who will care for you. Just wait till..." His voice trailed off and failed from excess of emotion. Kate Bland closed her eyes and leaned her head on his breast. Duane felt her heart beat against his, and conscience smote him a keen blow. If she loved him so much! But memory and understanding of her character hardened him again, and he gave her such commiseration as was due her sex, and no more.